Well, good evening.
Hey.
It's good to be here, amen.
Hey.
See if I got this on right. That's it, ain't it?
You on.
All right. Boy, it's a good crowd. Yeah, we really love you people.
Amen.
Thank God for you. Thank God for Brother Phillips. He's been a real friend to me over the years. And I appreciate it, Brother Phillips. Really appreciate it. A number of you pastors have used me over the years, and I appreciate that. This has been a great meeting for a long time now.
Amen.
And you did it again. You packed it out almost again.
Amen.
That's Amen. Great. Really great. I know we enjoyed. I know you enjoyed the Phillips family singing. They've always been great. I used to love to hear them sing that song, "There Arose a Lamb in Jerusalem."
Yeah.
Man, they could sing that song. Well, before I get into the marriage message, you know, Mary Hart just did like a medicine.
Medicine, yeah.
Did you hear about Joe Biden and this hippie were flying across the country? And the plane started crashing. The pilot came to Joe Biden and the hippie and said, "We got a problem. There's three of us, and we've got only two parachutes." Well, Joe Biden said, "Well, I think I ought to have one of them. I'm the smartest man in the world." So he grabbed what he thought was one of the parachutes, jumped out the door. The pilot looked over at the hippie and said, "But we still got a problem. Still two of us and only one parachute." The hippie said, "No sweat, man. The smartest man in the world just jumped out the door with my knapsack." Yeah, smartest man in the world. Open your Bibles, please. The Proverbs chapter 6. Most of you have heard me preach this message sometime or another. That's all I've got on my heart.
Amen.
And these pastors know that you've got to preach what's on your heart.
Amen.
So somebody must need this message. Proverbs chapter 6, I begin reading verse 6 through 8. I need a lot of volume here if you can give it to me.
You got it. Go ahead.
All right. Because they may can hear me, but I can't hear me.
Right.
I'm almost completely deaf. That's honest truth. And I'd like to know what I'm saying. Because if I start cussing you out, I want to know. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. Solomon said, go to them,
yes,
thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Was having no guide, overseer, or ruler, providers of meat in the summer.
Yes.
Gather food in the harvest. I'm going to put just a little while with the help of God this evening on consider. That's ways.
Yes.
You see where I got my title from? Right out of verse 6. Go to that, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise.
Yes.
I'll lead us in a word of prayer as I pray. Order to pray in your heart, ask God to speak. Only God can make this service what it ought to be. I need your prayers. You know my health's not good. Some of you know it. COVID nearly came about years ago. And I fight that vertigo every day of my life, fighting it right now. But God's grace is sufficient. I'm not going to complain. I'm just glad God let me live this long. God. Our Father, our God in heaven, God, thank you for the privilege to pray.
Yes.
God, I thank you, God, who hears and answers prayer. Father, I thank you meant what you said when you said what you did. Call unto me.
Yes. Yes.
And I will at then show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. God, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for still blessing this camp. Thank you for all these our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless them. Please see to it that everyone's come this evening and get spiritual help. Meet the needs of everyone here. And Father, if there's one here lost in Jesus' name, save that soul before the service is over. Please don't let anyone here die without God and go to hell. Father, in Jesus' name, please do what Jesus would love to see done here this evening. You can have all the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consider that's ways. I never forget when God gave me this little message. Been a long time ago now. My wife and I were living in North Georgia. And they had an old-fashioned annual ladies' camp meeting there at Faith Baptist Camp. My wife and some of the people in the church went over to the campgrounds to prepare for the old-fashioned ladies' meeting. My wife left lunch on the table for me. When it came time to eat, I thought there was nobody in the house but me and God.
Yeah.
But it wasn't long before it became very apparent there were a lot of people in the house. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, the answer of people are not strong. And it was all over the deep freeze on the table, on the floor. When I finished my meal, I pushed the plate aside and took me a piece of paper, and I'd watch them a while and write a while. Watch them a while and write a while. So I'm going to give you what God gave me on that day and a few things since then, and I hope this will be of a blessing to you.
Amen. Yes.
We're going to notice thanks walk, thanks work, thanks wants, thanks warfare, thanks wisdom, and last of all, the ancient will, just like God gave it to me back years and years ago.
Amen.
First of all, we'll notice the ancient walk. You say, how'd they walk? They walk straight.
Yeah.
That's where God wants me and you to walk. They walk straight.
Yeah.
The Bible has a lot to say about our walk.
Yeah.
And Paul's epistles are the general epistles. But is that what the Bible says? We're to walk in the light.
Yes.
The Bible says we're to walk in love.
Yes.
Says we're to walk in the spirit.
Yes.
Says we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind.
Yes.
The Bible says we're to walk honestly towards them that are without.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're to walk in unity. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I remember, I want to illustrate. I remember when I was just a boy, teenager, I wanted to buy me a pickup truck. There's still a few watermelons that were good enough to sell to eat. So, I got my daddy to let me have those few watermelons and I hauled them to the market. Farmer's Market in Cordell, Georgia. It's the watermelon capital of the world. It used to be Paceland, South Carolina, I think that's right. And I saved my money. I saved up $150. And believe it or not, I bought a pickup truck with $150. So you know it was a dandy. Somebody painted that truck red and did it with a paintbrush. So it was a real showpiece. Well, that thing skipped from the time I bought it to the time I got rid of it. Going down the road, kept wanting to jump out of gear. So I had to hold steering wheel with one hand and hold it in gear with the other hand. And I'd heard there was such a thing as blowing a set out of one. So I thought maybe that's what's wrong with it. Maybe I need to get it out and blow the set out. So I pulled out on the dirt road there in front of the house. Put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, you
did. Then I shifted a second. Then I shifted the high. I was going down the road running wide open. 50 miles an hour. That's all it was. When I came to the corner down there where Will Mashburn, our neighbor, lives. I made the turn. I've still got the pedal to the metal. Gonna blow the set out now. Our neighbor, Will Mashburn, he heard and saw me coming, and he heard and saw me going. We got back around to where the house was. Sounded just like it did before I left the house. I don't know whether I blowed the set out of it or not. I probably blowed 2 or 3 quarts of oil out of it. That thing never did run out. But there's a reason why I told you that. The next time I saw our neighbor, Will Mashburn, he said, I believe your truck running on only 5 cylinders. Well, you get the message. People know when we're running on only 5 cylinders.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
People know when a church is not running on all 6 cylinders.
Amen.
Worst things, one of the worst things that can happen to churches is to have a split.
Yes.
Oh, God, I hope you never have that. Hope you never have that. I remember One of the first churches I ever pastored, full-time church in South Georgia. We had a split. Some people got mad, they got upset. We was going to build a new auditorium. But boy, you start to build a new building, people's colors will show. And they showed, and it sure was bad color.
Yeah, it was.
They got mad with me, and they blamed me for all the problems. That normally happens, the pastor gets to blame. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. A church divided cannot stand. Boy, you pray one for another. Pull together, don't pull apart. Don't go, hey, don't get on the phone and say, have you heard? Have you heard? No, go get in the closet and say, oh God, will you hear?
Yes, sir.
Talk to God about it. Strange to me that a lot of people can, they claim they're close enough to God to see what people's problems are, but they don't seem to be close enough to trust God to straighten them out.
Right.
Right. So that's walk. The walk straight.
Yes.
Then that's work. They work steadfastly. I watched these ants when they got off the top of that deep freeze and got on the table. Now some of you are saying, now well, wait a minute, put you, wait a minute, you ain't talking about ants that long, are you? No. Let me say. You say, well, how could it get from your deep freeze to the table?
Yeah.
Well, if you ever lived in a single wide mobile home, you know how.
Yes, sir.
We lived in a single wide mobile home at that time. We had deep freeze pushed up against the window and had the table pushed up against the deep freeze, and that's a good place to have the table in deep freeze. You don't have to reach it far to get ice cream, amen. But these ants were getting off the deep freeze onto the table.
Yeah.
And once they got on the table, they scattered out. Some were picking up pieces of breadcrumbs, some picking up pieces of vegetables. And to make sure I could distinguish the two piles, I put a pile of sugar over here and a pile of salt over here.
Yeah.
Now I'll come back to that in a moment. But these ants, when they came across the top of the table, it seemed like there was no problem at all for them to maneuver.
Yeah.
Smooth sailing, so to speak. But when they got to where the deep freeze was, it being high on top of the table, it had to do this number here.
Right. Yeah.
Had to go uphill, so to speak. Well, much of the Christian life is uphill.
Yeah.
The Christian life is the most wonderful life that there is, but it's not a bed of roses.
Right. Right.
Much of it's uphill. The Bible says, endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then when they got to where the lid comes down, you got that gasket seal, whatever you call it, and they went into that and then got on the bottom side of the lid, and they're upside down now. Well, go to that and consider his ways. I'm not a bet man, I'm trying to get a port across. I bet he throw his burden down now. He's flat of his back. I never did see one of them throw the burden down.
Right.
They were just as faithful
when
they were flat on their back as when they were upright on their feet.
Yes,
much of the Christian life's uphill. Some of the Christian life's flat on your back.
Yes.
Some of y'all been there.
Yes.
You probably be surprised how many people here have gone through a time in life where they thought they wouldn't even live.
Yeah.
Much less being a meeting like this again.
I remember
I was preaching a meeting up here in a small Baptist church at Lynchburg, Virginia, a long time ago. And I was staying in the pastor's home with the pastor and his family. And y'all know down through the years I've always loved to pray. I still love to pray.
Yeah.
And I saw a pine sticking out behind that house. I thought, well, I'm going out there and pray. So I went out there and got down on my knees in that pine straw and I commenced to pray. But what I didn't know is it was full of ticks. I must have knelt right in a bed of them. Because they bit me on my feet, legs climbed up my back. And I didn't think too much about it till a few days later when germination set in. Then I really thought about it because I was sick. I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the devil got on my back there at the house and told me, said, you'll never get over this. God had mercy on me.
Yes.
I thank him.
But
you know, when them ticks got on me and bit me, I wasn't running around with somebody else's wife. No, I still bleed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I didn't have a Playboy magazine between the matches. I didn't have a fifth of liquor on the car seat. I was on my knees praying. Well, isn't God big enough to keep the ticks off us, especially when we're praying? Sure. But I don't know what's best for me, and you don't know what's best for you. Only God does.
Amen. That's right.
If it were not for suffering, some of us may not even be here this evening.
That's right. You're right.
Suffering has a tendency to drive you out of God. Then now, since I came down with that COVID real bad 3 years ago, I'm having to fight this vertigo every day of my life. Again, I don't know what's best for me, only God does. God could have kept me from getting this stuff. I got some friends that the stuff killed. It killed two members of our church. And I believe I came that close to dying from the COVID. But I believe it was the prayers of God's people brought me through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for friends. Thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ who will get under the burden and pray for us when we need it. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. So some of the Christian life is flat on your back.
Yes.
But I'll tell you something, you'll learn some things flat on your back that you'll never learn any other way.
That's right.
You'll learn some things in the valley you'll never learn on the mountaintop.
That's right.
God makes no mistakes. Next of all, we see the ants' wants.
Yeah.
I found there were some things they wanted, but I found there were some things I didn't want.
Uh-huh.
They wanted the vegetables. They wanted the breadcrumbs. And as I was going to say a moment ago, they really wanted that sugar.
Yeah.
Some ants are known as sweet-eating ants, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's got a sweet tooth like the Baptist preacher because I love something sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. My meal's not complete if I don't eat something sweet.
Amen.
But to make sure I could distinguish the two piles, put the sugar in one place and I put some salt in another place.
Yes.
I want to see what they do with that salt because I like salt too.
Yes.
A lot of people tell me I like it too much. They tell me I eat too much salt. Well, I probably do, but my blood pressure stays in the bottom of the normal range.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good for me. I never did see but two ants go to that pile of salt. Then they didn't pick it up. When one saw what it was, he turned it aside. Then the other one, when he saw what it was, he put it in reverse and started backing up. You say, why in the world didn't they take some of that salt home with them? You say, I like sugar, but I like salt too. I think I know why. You ever taken a snail and got up over, you ever taken a salt shaker and got over a snail and done like that? If you did, you know what happened. It's just about disintegrated.
Yes, sir.
Well, in an ant's colony, there's those little baby ants and little delicate things. You put some salt on one, you watch them start squirming, twisting, turning. Why? He's burning. So daddy ant, mama ant, careful what to take home with them lest the little ones get burnt. You better be careful the kind of movies you take home with you. You better be careful the kind of magazines you take home with you. Your loved ones may get burnt. You may get burnt. I remember one time I was preaching a meeting. I can't remember what was that. I'm getting old. All I know is down in the motel room I was staying in that week while I was preaching that meeting, I happened to see something under the bed. I thought, what in the world is that? I looked under there, and I'm not exaggerating. It was a Playboy magazine. I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What in the world am I going to do if the pastor comes over here and sees that thing under my bed? What am I going to do when that maid comes here in here to clean up, and she sees that on my bed?
Yeah.
They're going to think I'm reading that stuff. They're going to think that's my magazine. What am I going to do? So I sat down and figured me a plan out. I got me a paper sack.
Yes, sir.
I put that thing in that paper sack. I didn't open up and look at it. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No. Make no provision for the flesh to full the lust of.
Right.
Stain from all appearance of evil.
Yeah.
I never opened it. But I put it in this paper bag and I wrote on the bag. I put it on a, if I get killed, then I'm going to take it and put it in a trash can somewhere. I put it on, I said, if I get killed, I just want you to know that I was on the way to a trash can somewhere.
Yeah.
At a McDonald's or somewhere. And I was going to throw this thing in the trash can, and I want you to know I did not look at it. But I made it to, I think it was McDonald's. I took that paper bag with that old dirty magazine and threw it in the trash can.
Yes, sir.
See, that would have ruined me if that got out and folks thought I'd been looking at one of them old daddy magazines. That would have ruined me. It would have ruined me. Better be careful the kind of magazines you take home with you. They tell me that's one of the worst addictions that you can get into is pornography. I understand it's hard to break it. I don't know, to God be the glory, I've never fooled with it. I thank God he kept me from that.
Amen. Yeah.
I thank God he kept me from that even when I was lost.
Amen. Yeah.
So you better be careful the kind of magazines you take home. You better be careful the kind of music you take home with you.
That's right. Yeah.
get listen to that old rock and roll. You get a fire burning in here you can't put out. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Obvious is obvious. No. You play with fire, you get burnt by fire. I can honestly say I hate rock and roll. I hate that stuff. I was in that stuff up there before God saved me. And when God saved me, I said, goodbye, Elvis. Goodbye, you Beatles, you bugs. Their rock is not our rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand all over the ground sinking sand. You don't have to go around singing, I'm all shook up. You follow that crowd, you will be shook up.
Sure.
You follow that crowd, you'll probably wind up in hell.
Yeah.
No, I hate that stuff. No jungle music. Big bop, poop, flap. Salad, the recap coming off an old wild tie. That's what it sounds like. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad with me, are you? Okay. I still love you. I hope you love me. About years ago, there was a preacher over in North Carolina. They called him a hatchet man. If you need anything chopping off, he'd chop it off. His name was Carl Leike. Anybody here remember Carl Leike? Anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Carl Leike. He preached against everything that moved and some things that didn't move.
He sure did.
He preached at Faith Baptist camp one time. He looked at that crowd. He said, you mad with me now? You wait till I get on the third point. He was a sight, boy. The hatchet man. Next of all, the ancient warfare. I was born and raised in Fiat country. Down in South Georgia. We had a lot of firings. Well, we got to move to Greenville now.
Yeah.
When we moved to Greenville about years ago, I didn't see any firing beds.
That's right.
But we got them now.
Yeah.
I guess they're migrating.
Yeah.
Maybe they migrate on up yonder to the North Pole or somewhere. Get froze to death. I don't like them things. You know them things? Hey, they don't bite. You say, I got bit by fang. No, you didn't either. You got stung by fang. Really, we looked it up. They got a stinger. That's the reason why two or three days later, wherever that thing stung you, all of a sudden you start stinging again.
Yeah, right.
It's that poison.
Yeah.
I got a granddaughter that's allergic to them things. I've had other people say the same thing. So you better keep your kids out of fire beds. But down in South Georgia, you could burn one of my dad's cow pastures off, and it looked like a graveyard out there, big old mounds of dirt at fire beds.
Yeah.
They don't make a little circle earth with a hole in the center and a few ants going here and there and make a big old mound of dirt. If you ever step in his house, nobody has to tell you stepped in his house, he'll tell you. They'll all start climbing up your legs, and I guess one gives a signal or something because they all seem to bite at the same time. Got the right name, fire ants. time. So that's warfare.
Yes.
I take a stand for their house.
That's it.
You mess with their house, they'll get you.
Yes,
we should take a stand. This Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Four times in Ephesians 6, the Bible says, stand. Somebody said, if you don't stand for some things, you'll fall for anything. Somebody said, if you ain't against anything, you ain't for anything. Well, amen. We should take a stand. Take a stand. Oh, glory. I thank God for the American flag. Oh, God help. Boy, we got a mess in this country now. They don't just want to burn the flag. They want to get rid of it. They want to pull this country down. That bunch of Democrats and socialists and Marxists, they want a one world government. They're trying to destroy our country, folks. This next election will be the most sinister election we've ever had. If Kamala Harris gets elected, you can fasten your seatbelt. That woman's so diabolical. And folks, listen to me, she's a communist. That's what they want to do. They want to turn this thing into a communist country. You better really pray. Take a stand. Oh, God help us.
God help us, yes. Amen.
Yes. Reminds me of something that happened way back yonder not long after God saved me. There was a church in our community not far from the house called Mars Hill Baptist Church. One of my aunts went to that church. I preached in that church before. One time there was a pastor in that church, his name was Brother Earl Green. Then there was a man in that church that was a troublemaker. His name was Jeff Brown. Both of them are dead, so it won't matter if I call names. But Jeff Brown, he was one of the big shots in that church. He thought he was really something. He's one of them that's going to rule or ruin. One day he got upset with Brother Earl Green. But Brother Earl Green was not a pushover. He said, I want you to know I wear a number 9 shoe and I stand it. Brother Earl Green looked at him. He said, well, I got you covered. I'll wear a number 9.5 shoe and I stand in mine. I love that. Woo! Amen, Earl. Amen. Praise God. You're going to cause your pastor trouble and you don't let him pray for him. Why don't you go find you another church? There's some down the road down there. You'll fit in good. They probably don't believe anything. They use the NIV. Live like the devil. They don't dress right. Yeah, go on down the road. You can find one down there somewhere. God help. Not the jagger maggot. This Sunday night, we're going to vote on Brother Stephen Aldridge. Our pastor, Brother Tony Finney, one of the greatest preachers and pastors in America, thought it was time for him to step down. He's got some health problems, folks. And I love him. I tell you, I couldn't ask for a better pastor. But I've done my dead level best. You know, sometimes when I have an evangelist working at our church, sometimes he'll give the pastor problems. But I'm telling you, God in heaven's my witness. I back my pastor. I prayed for him. Sometimes I call him up. I say, Pastor, can I have a word of prayer with you on the phone? Yes, Brother Taylor. And I'd pray with him on the phone. I told Brother Stephen Hodges, I said, we'll be voting on you Sunday night. I believe he'll get a unanimous vote. Probably everybody vote for him. He's a good man. He's a good man. One of the best. But I've already told him, I said, listen, I'm going to back you and pray for you just like I did Brother Finney. And I aim to do that. I don't want to give him any problems. I didn't give Brother Finney any problems. And if you're giving your pastor problems, you ought to get us all and repent. You love your pastor. You pray for him. I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad God called me to preach.
Yes.
In spite of all the battles, all the trials, all the trouble. But you won't believe it. You'd have to be a preacher to know all the hell that the devil puts that preacher through.
Yes, sir.
You just don't know. If you did, you'd pray for him instead of talking about him.
Exactly right.
Instead of giving him pause.
Amen. Amen.
I need to help get on. Next of all, there ain't wisdom. Bible says the wise because they prepare the meat in summer.
Yes.
They don't wait till the frost falls.
Right.
They don't wait till the ground froze. Too late then.
Yeah.
While the sun's shining, while the weather's warm and congenial, they're getting ready. They know winter's coming. They know hard times are coming.
Right.
Mind me what God said in the book of Amos through Amos, prepare to meet thy God,
yes, sir.
O Israel.
Yeah.
Those ants were wise because they are prepared for difficult times, hard times. The time to prepare to meet God is now, not tomorrow.
Amen.
You may be gone tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And the time to get saved, if you're not saved, is now.
Yes, yes.
You may be in hell this time tomorrow if you're not saved.
Right.
You won't take a one car wreck on the way home to put you in eternity.
Right.
Man, I'm glad I'm saved.
Now,
you think about what this Bible says about hell, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I didn't go to the place where Isaiah said there's everlasting burnings. He said, who shall dwell with the divine fire? Who shall dwell with everlasting burnings?
Right. Yes.
Bible says, hell from beneath is moved from thee. The Bible says, in hell they have no rest day nor night.
Right.
You better make sure you're saved. You could be in hell before the service tomorrow night. Wise because they prepare the meat in summer.
Yeah.
I remember back, the first church I ever pastored was a little halftime church. It had about 20, 21 members. I got one of the most powerful evangelists in the state of Georgia to come preach revival for me. You probably won't know his name. He's been in heaven for years. His name was Jim Stallings. Jim Stallings was a great preacher.
Yeah.
I remember towards the end of that week, he preached on come before winter. Took his text from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, I believe it is, where Paul told Timothy, he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. His points were something like this. If you ever intend to get saved, you better do it before winter. If you ever intend to surrender, you better do it before winter.
Yes.
Seemed like one of his points was this. He said, if you ever intend to Show some love. You better do it before winter. There's coming a day in time when you won't have your daddy and mama to show some love to. You won't have your husband or your wife. Yes, you have intended to show some love. You better do it for winter. One of these days, you're going to sit down there at the table for Thanksgiving dinner, and you're going to look over there, and that chair's going to be empty where Mama used to sit.
That's right. Yes, it will.
I've already been through that. Many of you have. I remember one time, I can't remember whether it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, but we was on our way to be with my daddy and some of the rest of the family members. And within a mile of getting to the place, my wife started bawling. I didn't ask her why. She cried. I knew why. She knew when we got there, Mama wouldn't be there. You could look across that table where Mama used to sit, and the chair was empty, folks. That's going to come your way one of these days. You may add 5 years to your mama's life if you just go by every night and put your arms around her neck and say, Mama, I just want to tell you I love you. Boy, I thank God I had a mama who took me to church when I was a kid. I might have never got saved. She didn't do that because my daddy had no use for God. Eventually, I think he got saved. But there was a time when only time he ever heard him use God's name was in vain. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm telling the truth. He was a very mean man, boy. He was a dangerous man. His nickname was Hot, and he lived up to it. He'd kill you at a drop of a hat. Now, I'm not exaggerating. God knows I'm telling you the truth. I've seen poor guns on people, seen him hit people, beat on people with hammers and anything to get his hands on. He kept a tree brand pocket knife in his pocket and kept it razor sharp. He'd cut you in a heartbeat. I've seen him pull that knife on people. But in spite of the fact my daddy beat on me and abused me, and when he beat me one time, beat me real bad and left marks on me back in those days, I didn't do anything wrong. He was just mean. He beat me badly. Took a limb out of a tree and beat me badly with that thing. But when my daddy was dying in the hospital in Cordell, Georgia, God let me get there before he died. I sat down by his bedside. I sat there with tears rolling off my face. I understand that when a person dies, their hearing is one of the last things that goes, and I remember that. Daddy wasn't conscious. He couldn't say a word. Couldn't hardly see. Almost completely blind. 95 years old, but I sat down by his bedside. And I said over and over, I said, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. I wanted to know why he was dying. I wanted him to know I had no hard feelings towards him. I wanted him to know I loved him in spite of the way he treated me. I wanted him to leave this world knowing everything was all right between me and him. Better show some love. Yeah. There come a damn time when you won't have them to love. That's all I'm done. Thanks, Will. They have a lot of determination. They won't let hardly anything stop them. I'm very aware of that fact because ants been trying to come in our house. And I try to stop them. I pour them with alcohol and whatever. And I got me some old burnt oil. I went down inside the house pouring burnt oil all down inside the house. I thought surely they won't come through that oil. Well, I don't know where they're coming from, but they're still coming in the house.
Yeah.
Let nothing stop them. We need tenacity like that.
Yes,
they let nothing stop them.
Yeah.
I started experimenting with this point. I waited one of them ants, picked up a grain of that sugar and started across the table. I put my finger in front of him. I'm going to see what you'll do. He went around it. I put my finger in front of him again. He went around it. God allows the devil to put some obstacles in straight and narrow way to test your faith and my faith. Then I said, well, I'm going to put my finger on top of you. I didn't do that. It crushed him. I put just about as much pressure, proportionally speaking, on that as God allows the devil put on me and you sometimes. Then I took my finger off the ant. You guessed it. He's still holding on to the burden, and he's headed home.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you know in the Bible, storms are compared to trials in a Christian's life. So I cut my hands on them. And well, you guessed that I broke some of them completely off the feet, but when the storm was over, so to speak, they're still holding on the burden, and they was headed home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let nothing stop them.
Amen.
Then the last one, I didn't plan it. But when I moved that plate over, after I got done eating, them little tests, them little ants being small, tender in comparison to that old heavy china plank. So some of them ants was crushed by that plate. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what Paul said. I say the truth in Christ. I like my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I saw a living ant come over and get a dead ant. He carried him over to the edge of the table. He didn't throw him off. He set him down. And you guessed it. They kept going. They didn't let anything stop them. They didn't let obstacles stop them. They didn't let pressure stop them. They didn't let storms stop them. They didn't even let the death of a loved one stop them.
Right. Amen.
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 Hey, don't quit. You ain't falling or quitter.
Yeah.
Jesus went up on Mount Calvary to die on the cross. He didn't throw the cross down so I quit. He went right on up there and died for me and you. Died for us.
Yes.
So you're not falling a quarter. Don't quit.
That's right.
Don't stop going to church.
Right.
Don't stop passing out tracts and telling people how to be saved.
Yes.
Don't stop singing in the choir. Don't stop teaching that Sunday school class. Carry your burden to the end. God bless you. We love you. I'm through preaching. Would you stand your feet?